It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A regional director with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is resigning in connection with the drinking water crisis in Flint, Michigan. Michigan's chief medical examiner has said that all children who drank Flint's water have been exposed to lead, and the EPA has issued an emergency order to ensure the state and city immediately take actions necessary to protect public health. Lead can cause irreversible brain disease in children. The situation in Flint has a lot of us wondering what's in our water. Like the residents of Flint, our drinking water comes from a river, the Allegheny. So how safe is it? I'm joined now in studio by James Good. He's executive director of the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. James Good, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. I'm glad to be back.
You can join the conversation with comments and questions at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. James Good, tests in 2013 showed levels in the PWSA service area were 14.7 parts per billion, 3/10 shy of the limit of 15 parts per billion that triggers federal action. The level was 2 parts per billion in 1999. So one question that comes to mind here is why are the lead levels rising in Pittsburgh's drinking water?
Right. Well, first of all, Paul, thanks again for having us on the show. And
sure.
Let me just start by explaining that, you know, the number one mission of the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority is to ensure that the water supply, the drinking water that our customers get every day, is safe and reliable. And one of the things that we do as part of that is comply with the federal government's rule for lead. And it's important to understand that the lead is actually not in the water itself. It's not in the water supply.
The pipes.
The water that comes out of the Allegheny, we have to adjust the corrosiveness. And so we add chemicals to do that. But the actual lead itself is in the service line, which is the line that goes from the main to the house, and in the plumbing. And in the soldering. And typically, the older your house is, the more likely you are to have those materials in your lines. And so we have a testing protocol that we're required to do. And if more than 10% of those tests come back at 15 parts per billion or higher, we have to implement new treatment techniques. And specifically, what we have to do is increase the regularity of testing. We have to do some added notifications. And if there's portions of service line that we own, which is a case on a homeowner's property, we would have to start replacing those. But the water itself is safe to drink. I think you've seen the last couple of days that information put forward by the county health department and others that are experts in the health effects of lead. So the public, you really has nothing to worry about in that regard.
Sure. But at the same time, I think a lot of people might be wondering when they see those statistics why the level has risen in the last 15 years the way it has. In 2013, 5 of the 50 homes tested by the PWSA had lead levels above that 15 parts per billion, which does trigger the federal action. And you're talking about a level of 2 parts per billion in 1999, and now we're seeing 14.7 parts per billion. So how do we account for that? Well, I'll let you answer that.
Well, mostly we account for it because of the variance in sampling. So unlike any other drinking water regulation where we sample in our system, we rely on homeowners for the samples. We send them a kit, and they have to pull the sample based on a criteria, and then we test the water. And the homes that we get change from time to time, so it's difficult to draw an overarching conclusion because of the sample set changes. What I would say is obviously the numbers are higher. I mean, we've gotten, and because of that, we've gone back and taken another look at the steps that we've taken. Nobody's ordered us to do that, and we're changing the chemical that we add to the water to provide an extra level of assurance. In this case, what the chemical will do is line the inside of the pipe with a film so that lead can't be leached out.
So that's how the PWSA tests drinking water for lead levels. They put this chemical in there and that.
No, I'm sorry. What we do is, as the protocol is, we send some bottles to the customers and then they fill those bottles with water from their tap. And then they send them to the lab and we run tests of those. What we do to reduce the corrosivity of the water is add chemicals to our water at the treatment plant, so it's less likely to leach lead out of the homeowner's own plumbing or service line.
Okay. So that explains how the testing is done. I'm still wondering, though, why these lead levels, why we're seeing this dramatic increase in the last 15 years.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is we don't see it as, first of all, there's no lead in the water. So the lead gets in it by leaching out of the plumbing.
And but we're seeing higher levels of that.
Right. And we believe that's because of the variance in the sites where we go to pull the samples.
Okay. I guess that's the part I'm not understanding because.
Go ahead. So homes can vary widely as to the amount of lead they have in them based on the age. Say one home might have lead in the plumbing but not have a lead service line. Another home might have a lead service line and have lead in the plumbing. When we sample, we're required by the EPA to sample from 50 sites. Mm-hmm. And we have to rely on volunteers for those because we go into the home to get the samples. We don't. We send them a kit. We don't enter somebody's home. And those locations typically change from period to period because people move or they're no longer willing to let us into their home. So it's difficult to draw a conclusion that because your sampling universe has changed from this time to last time to say, well, you know, your lead levels are going up. What it means is in the properties that were tested, more lead has leached out. That's what it means.
Okay. But the increase seems to be steadier. It seems to be a steady rising level that we've seen over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that indicate to you in terms?
Well, what it indicates to us is that we need to take a look and make sure that we're doing everything we can with the source water to ensure that the corrosivity is minimized. And like I mentioned earlier, we've gone back and we've reviewed the chemical processes we've used, and we changed it very recently to not only help prevent corrosion, but also it basically lines the inside of the pipe with a chemical film so the water never comes in contact with the lead line itself and cannot leach in that case.
So are we seeing more incidents of corrosion in the pipes? Is it just aging infrastructure or what?
So, first of all, this rule has been in effect since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
The PWSA, like water systems all across the country, have from the very beginning taken the steps necessary to address the corrosiveness of their water supply and work with customers on the information they need to take steps to reduce their exposure to lead. Beyond that, because of the testing protocol, there's huge variation. So, you know, you could have a home A that's full of lots of lead and the water sits for a long time and has longer to work than in home B. So there's a lot of variance there. Because of the peculiarity of the way the tests are done, we get those results. And if 10% or more of the samples are at the EPA action level of 15, then we have to take additional steps, more monitoring, more notification, and potentially replacing the lead service lines that we own.
Are there things that the PWSA can do to control lead levels?
What we can do and what we do is we address the corrosiveness of our water by chemical additions and reduce that. So we adjust the pH to make it less acidic so it doesn't leach materials out of the lines. Now, the other thing that we do, Paul, is if a customer has a concern about their specific lead levels in their home, in their water, they can call our lab anytime, not just during the sampling period. We'll send them the kit. They can send the samples to the lab. We'll test it. We'll give the results to the customer. And we'll give them information about what they need to do to lower the lead content of their home. And there's also a very simple thing folks can do right now if they're worried, which is in the morning when you get up, run your tap. And when the temperature in the water changes, that means any water that's been there overnight has cleared out. And if whatever it might have contained is now gone. And so, and that's a recommendation that's widely provided by health authorities, including the EPA.
Is there something especially tricky about treating the water that's coming from a source like a river as opposed to, and obviously we wouldn't have access to one of the Great Lakes being in the area that we are in. I'm guessing we wouldn't. So when you're relying on a river that's running through the middle of a city, past industry, and we've certainly cleaned up our act a lot more in recent years than in years past, but does that pose particular challenges?
Well, every water system in the country has its own unique water supply. And as part of this process, you need to take a look at your water supply and understand, you know, sort of what the average levels are and what the variances, you know, the outliers can be, and take steps to add corrosion control chemicals that take into account, say, the changes in pH, and that can change during the season, for example. And we do that on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm asking is it more of a challenge when you're dealing with a supply of water like we have here in Pittsburgh?
It's not necessarily more of a challenge.
The EPA requires water providers to test lead levels every 3 years. Should it be done more frequently, in your opinion?
We'll do it now as frequently as our customers request. So if customers want us to test their water supply, I can even give you the number if you'd like. We can give out later on the call for folks to call the lab, and we'll send them a kit, and they can test it.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with James Good. He's Executive Director of the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. He's with us here in studio. You can join the conversation with your comments and questions at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Let's go to Chris on the south side with a question. Hi, Chris. You're on with James Good.
I'd like to ask Mr. Good what the PWSA is doing to test for radiation from potential fracking wastewater and sources we're hearing about coming from north of Pittsburgh.
So we regularly test at our intake on the Allegheny for radionuclides, and so far we've found none in the water.
Okay, Chris, hopefully satisfies your curiosity or concern about that. Should we see, James Good, as some would like to see, the EPA lower its lead testing threshold?
We'll do what the EPA directs us to. And, you know, there's no, as part of the rule, and as folks know in the health area, there's no safe exposure level. If it's decided that needs to be done, we'll comply with any change in the rule.
A gentleman by the name of Partha Basu, a researcher at Duquesne who studies lead and who has developed a device to test for the presence of lead in water, would like to see water providers test the same houses each year to better establish trends. Is that a good idea, do you think?
I think that's an excellent idea, but it's a challenge because this is private property and these are homeowners, and we have to rely on them essentially volunteering to make themselves available for testing. And that could change, say, if the homeowner moves out to someplace else and somebody new buys the home. We don't have the authority, water suppliers don't have the authority to compel our people to enter into the home to pull the samples. But if there was a way to do that on a consistent basis, we would be very much in favor of that.
Do you generally get the kind of cooperation that you feel you need from people? And it makes you wonder, why wouldn't people want to help in any way they could?
Yeah, you know, we're required to get 50 samples, and we do. But there's a lot of reasons. I mean, the sample, for example, needs to be pulled in the morning because it needs to be pulled after the water has sat in the pipes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to deal with it first thing in the morning when they get up. So, you know, those are some of the constraints we have to deal with.
You wanted to give out some information for people who might have concerns or questions that they want to have answered. Where should they turn, or how should they contact you?
Sure. So they can call our lab. That number is 412-782-7554. Tell them, you know, that you're calling because you want to have your lead and your water tested. We'll send out a kit. They send it back. We'll test it. We'll provide the results to the homeowner, and we can give them, based on that, we can give them some tips on what to do if it's found to have lead in it.
So again, if you want to call the PWSA lab, the number is 412-782-7554.
And that's free to our customers.
Great to hear. James Good is the executive director of the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority, joining us here in studio. James Good, thanks again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Coming up on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll hear from a group looking to improve pedestrian safety in Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.